Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, hello, Greg. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And I know you and Tanya had some communication prior to, and she told me a little bit about some incredible journey that you've gone through. Tell me a little bit kind of how it all started where were you at and what was going on?
Yeah, well, I was, I just started a new job. My fiance and I transferred to the state of Connecticut, and the state where Lyme disease was discovered. And almost everybody I talk to who lives in Connecticut or moves here has about or some brush with Lyme disease. And I didn't know that's what was going on with me. I was going through a really particularly stressful part of my life, and my symptoms were not classic Lyme symptoms. I also didn't have a tick bite that I could see, didn't have any bullseye rash or any of those kind of classic symptoms. My symptoms were all around intestinal stuff, so I would eat a meal and then just get knocked out, or I would feel like I had been drugged. And it took 2 years of all kinds of tests. I swallowed radioactive pills, sleep-deprived EEGs where they shown crazy strobe lights in my eyes after not letting me sleep for 24 hours. I mean, all these invasive tests that actually made me feel worse until finally a holistic doctor asked me to come in. Prior to coming in, she said, why don't you write down a week's worth of your symptoms, like a symptom diary, and then, you know, come in. And she was amazing. She was the one who said, you have Lyme disease. I can tell by your symptoms. We'll do a special test. And I thought, great, done. Problem solved. No, problem just beginning.
I was going to say, and, problem just started then.
Exactly. And it's funny too, because I've talked to hundreds, maybe even a thousand or more Lyme patients. And, you know, this part of the story is pretty similar to everyone else's. And the other aspect is the doctor who was smart enough to diagnose me had no idea how to treat me very well. So she just started throwing antibiotics at me, which it would have been great if it had happened within the first 60 days of infection. But at that point, it was 2 years in. You know, that Lyme and the co-infections were chronic, and I didn't know any different. I just thought, okay, you know, Lyme disease, of course you treat it with antibiotics. So started with antibiotics. And then when I said that I wasn't feeling well, they clued me into the idea of what a Herxheimer reaction was, you know, die-off symptoms, and said, just great, that's a good sign, tough it out. And I did. And the other thing they told me was, because I asked about other alternative treatments like herbal treatments and things like that. And they said, don't bother with them. Nothing's stronger than antibiotics. So you just stay on antibiotics until you feel better. So after 6 years.
Just 6 years of antibiotics?
Wow.
6 years of antibiotics. I did PICC lines, bicillin injections, multiple oral antibiotics, almost dying a couple of times. I got, my heart was jabbed by a PICC line insertion. I got a C. diff infection that was almost took me out. And then finally, the final straw for me was for 3 months I had pneumonia, bronchial pneumonia, and I was already on 4 antibiotics. So my doctor kept giving me other antibiotics. And finally, you know, I said, this is my 5th antibiotic, with, you know, and I made a joke like, how is anything living in my body with all of these antibiotics? And his eyes got really wide and he said, you're scaring me. I said, you're scaring me. I'm the one who's doing it.
Exactly. It's my body. I'm the one.
Right. Right. So that's when I realized, you know, I wrote a blog about this. Called the 6 stages of Lyme. And I was traveling through the stages. The first is diagnosis, and you think that's, the end of the story, but no, the next stage is disillusionment. And the disillusionment is with the doctors and with the insurance companies, because insurance didn't cover any of this stuff. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on treatment that didn't help me.
Sorry to interrupt you. So I know that when we treat holistically, that insurance does not cover it, but yours was not even covered being on antibiotics.
Yeah. So let me tell you a crazy story. I had done a PICC line and insurance covered it, $30,000. The second PICC line, my doctors called up the insurance company and they gave him a strange answer. He asked the insurance company if they would cover my next PICC line. And they said, that's something that we have covered before. So they didn't say they would cover mine, but they said that's something that they have covered. So I was on the PICC line for 3 months. And then at the end of 3 months, they said they wouldn't pay for it.
Wow.
Okay. So it's $30,000. I was extremely upset. I started writing letters to the insurance company saying, you covered me before. I was mad. So I said, I'm going to contact the attorney general. And they gave it right back to me. And they said, and then I felt like I was dealing with the mafia, because they said, our team of doctors said that your PICC line was medically unnecessary. And now we're going to look into your first PICC line to see if it was medically unnecessary, and you're going to owe us for that.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
So now they're threatening you with things that they paid to make sure you don't pursue.
I'd never heard of that. I was already underwater sick. My doctors were just throwing pharmaceuticals at me. You know, I said I was in pain. They put me on opioids. I said I was fatigued. They gave me Adderall. I was on 4-5 antibiotics at any given time. I was a zombie. And I was fighting for my life. And then this stuff was going on too. So, that part of the story has a happy ending, because I worked for a company that was, quote unquote, self-insured. So that means they paid for an insurance company to run the show for their company. So, somebody from HR contacted me and said, hey, we want you to be in a recruiting video. We want to show, you're a young guy, you're a digital guy. We want to show that you're the face of the company. I said, okay. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? They said, that you're happy working here. I said, like, happy with insurance? And they said, what do you mean? I said, I told them the story. And within a month, they cleared it up and I did the video.
Well done.
Yeah. So
we learn all sorts of ways around things when we have to deal with Lyme. Yeah. Lyme insurance, whatever you want to call. So you went through that nightmare for 6 years. You went through that nightmare of all the antibiotics and the drugs. And then you said you're done?
I'm really before we even go there, I'm really curious about the six stages. I'm still.
Oh yeah, we only made it to two, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to disillusionment. Yeah, we were disillusioned with the treatment, the doctors, and all of that. I'm pins and needles about the other four.
Okay, hold on. I got to pull it up. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. It's quite all right. I've got the blog here.
You can't just open the bag and not let us peek in.
I know. You're right. Yeah. Okay, so the next is treatment. After disillusionment is treatment. Now, you know, the problem or the whatever, doesn't have to be a problem, but the thing about Lyme disease is it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. You know, some people actually do get better using antibiotics, even in the chronic stage. It's pretty rare.
Right.
Most people do a combination or just do all herbal or whatever. I've seen it across the board. And I've seen other treatments like hyperthermia, stem cell treatment, all these various things. It's bee venom therapy. Some people, you know, they work for some people. My situation was herbal. That helped me get better. And I did energy work, and I went to a special place in Brazil where I got healed like on a massive level where that actually changed my appearance. And that gave me kind of like a spiritual awakening. So that happened on top of it, which is cool. Pretty unusual.
Wow.
Although I do talk to a lot of Lyme patients who have a spiritual aspect to their healing. I don't think it's completely unusual, but I went through that. So mine was a combination of herbal treatments to help me with the physical. It was kind of like mind, body, spirit. I paid attention to my thoughts because when I was at my worst, I really wanted to die, but I didn't have the guts to kill myself.
Which is good.
There's so many Lyme patients I talked to who have said those same words.
And sometimes you don't have the energy to kill yourself. You're too exhausted to plan it out.
Exactly. So it was, you know, I hit my worst one night when I was having having a heart attack as a result of that PICC line insertion. And I just thought, okay, you know, now's a good time for me to go. I was literally praying to be taken. And then it was the strangest thing. I didn't die. And, I just, you know, I just kept going and things started changing. I really noticed the emotional release I had. It was, you know, that Bobby McGee song, like, you know, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. I felt like I had lost everything.
Right.
But things started to actually fall into place in my life within days of that, of just kind of giving up. And I stopped fighting. I started realizing, you know, maybe diseases are indicators for us. They're information telling us that there's an imbalance in our life. And it's not just, you know, something that you eat or, you know, a bug bit you or something like that. Maybe you've got a toxic lifestyle, which is what I had. You know, I was working a very stressful job. I wasn't eating well, and I just had a stressful life. And I finally started realizing this is going to take a life change for me to get better. And not just, you know, taking some herbs. I've got to change my mindset. I you know, read books and saw videos by Wayne Dyer, who, you know, about the power of intention and how powerful your thoughts are, you know, that you can literally broadcast frequencies with your emotions and that you're going to receive things that you're broadcasting out. So like, you know, attracts like. So if you're a negative person, you're going to have negative experiences and meet negative people and vice versa. And I really started to notice my life change when I changed my mindset. Like to the point where like I would start getting better parking places and ridiculous things like that. You know, I'd walk down the street and people would smile at me. Whereas, you know, just weeks before, people were flipping me off in traffic. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that started helping. And then the energy healing and the spiritual stuff came after. And then after I got into remission, I realized that this is how I needed to stay. And kind of like the icing on the cake was I wanted to help people through this, you know, I avoid some of the pitfalls that I fell into, but help them get through it. It was like I swam to the other side of the river. I got caught in brambles and tree branches and scraped my knees on rocks and stuff, but I made it to the other side. And now I'm over on the other side telling people, hey, you could swim across too. Avoid that tree over there, avoid that rock. And some people, they make it.
I love other that people, analogy.
That's they don't even want to get in the water. Yes. You know, so
going through the river.
What's that?
I said I love that analogy of going through the river. You know, and because that's like you're just helping somebody navigate through their own Lyme journey. But I loved that you talked about your emotional part of it and spiritual part of it, because that's one thing I find with a lot of Lyme patients, that they don't seem to correlate the two, that a healthy mind, healthy thinking is going to bring a healthy body. They think that there's no ties together in that. And I agree with you. I think it absolutely is game changing when you change your attitude and your mindset on it. Well, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Well, pathogens, I mean, they are so affected by vibrations. Yeah. You know, so for instance, if they've done these studies where you put parasites in a Faraday cage and they replicate in a certain amount of time, and then they do kind of a normal electromagnetic field and they replicate 100 times faster. So it just shows that stress of that electromagnetic field. So it's the same within our bodies. You know, if we produce and stress frequencies, they are going to behave in a certain way that's more aggressive versus if we have then benevolent thinking, you know, positive thinking, and more like you're saying, you were kind of letting go of the control. You know, so, you know, control, then you try to contain things and try to, and so, but you're just kind of letting go of that, and that is where you found the freedom. And so that will have a frequency that pathogens like Lyme will behave in a different fashion within.
Yeah, I could, absolutely, 100%. And there's another aspect of that, which is the amount of attention that you give to the pathogens. Like, they like it when you are paying attention to them, and they don't like it when you're not. So, you know, people have asked me, you know, when on the protocol I was doing, they say, well, you know, when did you, you know, what was your last days like? How did you know when to stop taking treatment? And I said, honestly, I forgot. I forgot to take it because I was already on with my life. The disease was in the rearview mirror. And I realized one day, oh my God, I stopped taking the treatment like 4 days ago and nothing happened. I guess I'm good. So I've told patients like that, it's not, you're not going to come to a finish line, you know, and people are going to shoot streamers at you and say, you did it. It's going to be something pretty uneventful. Like what happened to me, like, oh yeah, I'm better, you know? So
that's awesome.
That's how it can look.
Yeah. I love that.
Anyway, I just wanted to finish up the six stages. The other stage after treatment is anger and panic. So depending on the type of person you are, you're either internalize your strong emotions or you externalize. And so we have things like Bartonella rage for people who are more extroverted and shooting out their negative emotions. Or we have the suicidal people, which of course, you know, according to Dr. Jemczak, is the number one reason for Lyme patients dying is suicide. So and then beyond that, that was a phase I absolutely went through, both of those actually. And then after that, I went into the next to the last stage, which was acceptance. And like as we talked a little bit about that, that was the night where I thought, okay, if I'm going to die, let's do it. Let's get it over with. I went through the acceptance, and that's the release. That's when you stop fighting. And then the final thing is after everything kind of settles down, after you let go, and you kind of realize and you really analyze what was going on with the illness. What, you know, why did this happen to me? You know, at first I thought it was because I was a bad person or because, you know, maybe I did something in a past life. I murdered somebody or maybe, you know, my lifestyle was bad. But, you know, I realized that it was really pointing me that, yes, I had a lifestyle that was toxic, but it was pointing some other things out. That I had, things could be a lot better on the other side of this illness than I even imagined. So I had said to somebody one time, that I felt like I was losing, you know, my life, like everything about my life that I liked was burning up. And, you know, I just wanted to go back to, there was this moment I was at my house and I found an old leather jacket I used to wear in my cool days, you know, when I was, you know, in a band and stuff. And I put it on, I saw myself in the mirror and I burst into tears because I wasn't that guy anymore. And I wanted to go back to that. And I mentioned that to a friend of mine and the friend said, why would you want to go back? Don't you want to be better? You know, like the $6 million man, you know, can rebuild you can be better than ever. I'm like, of course. Yes, I do want to be better. So this illness, you know, didn't kill me. It's can make me stronger. It can make me better. And, you know, I wrote about this and I wrote a book about this called The Gratitude Curve, which is the final stage in the six stages. Once you become grateful for the illness, it loses all of its power over you. And it, in fact, you become more empowered because now you have turned the disease around. It has become a benefit to your life. So, you know, I've described it as a forest fire. And because I kept saying out loud, my life is burning to the ground. All the good parts of my life are burning to the ground. And, but that's, you know, forest fires are good for forests. They burn away the dead wood and allow new growth. And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, all the bad parts of my life got burned away. And then, you know, it pointed me into different directions that, you know, my life is so different than it was, you know, 15 years ago. And I'm grateful for every day.
And I see that a lot with my patients. You know, and I deal, you know, both with Lyme patients and patients dealing with cancer. And they reckon when they get to that point, they recognize that, you know, the infections, you know, Lyme or cancer were their best healers. And that was the indicator that something needed to change. And it was that, you know, the light on the dashboard, they're telling them, you know, we need to shift in different direction. Like you're saying, you know, it is a new you. It's a phoenix rising after that. But you got to go through the birth pain and you got to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Lyme definitely changes our life. And it doesn't always have to be for the worse. You know, of course it's worse when you're going through the journey, but once you reach right. it to the other side, then it, you really can make it into something positive. And a lot of people don't see that at the time because like you, Greg, I just wanted my old life back and I knew it was never going to happen. So I had to accept it and figure out why I was led down this path. And it obviously was to be here doing a podcast with you about Lyme.
Right. You know.
And no, you writing
but
a
that
book.
Was such a, what's that?
And you writing a book and starting your foundation.
Right, right, exactly. No, but that was such a strong realization, you know, or just a mentality that you know, somebody basically said of, you know, why go back? You know, why would you settle for the way you were, you know, 10 years ago? Why? That's backwards, you know. Don't you want to be better than that? And you know, I just hadn't thought of it. I was so sick, for one thing, but I just hadn't thought that things could actually be better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to what you were saying, Tanya, it's so hard to just get through every day when you're that sick. Mm-hmm. To think outside of the box, it was a big moment for me. And, you know, and then even after that realization, it took years to get to the point where, you know, I could look back on it and say, wow, that was a big moment in my life. And that's what's so hard about the struggle. It's like you're out at sea and you're not seeing land anywhere. You're not seeing a resolution. And you just got to stick with it. Have faith in yourself and have faith in your ability to get this and faith in the fact that this is happening for a reason that, believe it or not, is a benefit to you, or it can be a benefit,
right?
If you just follow it.
Exactly. Those are great words.
Yeah, I mean that is awesome. That is really awesome. How did you? So you were doing the 6 years of antibiotics. I would assume that after year one, you would say, you know, this is not working. But you're persistent. You did 6 years. So what made you change after 6 years? I mean, what changed direction?
I just want to note that it wasn't me. I was listening to my doctors, you know, like a good patient.
like we grew up learning, you know, our Western medicine doctors, whatever they tell us, that's what we're supposed to do. But for
doctor knows best, right? So I figured doctor knew best. And my doctors, after a year, I said, I'm not any better. Like maybe 5%, you know, some days I'm worse. And then the doctor said, oh, because he was treating me as if I had one bacteria. You know, I can't even believe that was going on. He was treating one bacteria, the spirochete, which, you know, I think everybody knows who's got chronic Lyme. It's never just Lyme. It's always co-infections. It's viruses. It's parasites. It's a whole cocktail of pathogens.
It's a Lyme
and,
soup.
And so...
It's a Lyme soup.
What's that?
Yeah, it's just a Lyme soup. It's just soup of stuff, you know. And
yes.
Yeah.
So after a year, he said, or actually it was a year and a half, he said, okay, let's test you for Bartonella. Oh. Well, I had Bartonella. And then he gave me, this is how the antibiotics started layering up. He was only giving me, I think, two in the beginning, and then he gave me Z-Pak and Rifampin to fight the Bartonella. So now I was on three or four, and then after a year and a half of that, I'm not getting better. He did a test for Babesia, and I started taking Mepron, which looks like yellow paint, and cost $400 after insurance covered it, for $400 for a month's supply. And nothing worked. So
now, was this a Lyme literate doctor? Or just a primary care doctor?
It was a well-known Lyme literate doctor.
It was. Okay. Okay.
No advice on detoxing. I had to find out for myself. I did some research and found out about the Gerson clinic and the Gerson therapy. And this is back in 2005. So I was in the closet about this, but coffee enemas. Yeah. They were a game changer for my detoxing. I had such a profound first coffee enema, my vision changed. Colors got brighter. My depression went away for a day. It was amazing.
Wow.
So that's when I realized, okay, this is, you know, detoxing is very important. So that's after
crazy,
all of this,
you
know,
learn that on your own.
I left doctors. The way I got better was self-treatment. And I learned everything, the good, the bad, and the indifferent from all these doctors and other people and my own research. And I had no inkling of becoming any kind of practitioner. But so I started this foundation. First, I started Ticked Off Music Fest. So we raised money. But then, you know, within the first year of doing the Ticked Off Music Fest, it became so apparent to me that all the people showing up for these music fests were Lyme patients, just crying, throwing themselves in my arms, crying, saying, we need a doctor, we need help. And they weren't there. They didn't come to listen to music. I thought it was going to be, the audience was going to be people who had money and wanted to donate to Lyme patients. It was 80% Lyme patients showing up in wheelchairs and walkers and oxygen tanks saying, help us. So I got it. I got the message. Okay. So I started the Ticked Off Foundation within about a year and a half of that to help patients stay on treatment through treatment discounts and small micro grants. And while I was setting up a relationship with Nutramedics, so the company that does the Cowden protocol, that is the protocol I use, the herbal treatment that helped me. I tried to set up a relationship where they would be a sponsor, or they would donate, and they said, no, we're a for-profit, you're a nonprofit, it's too messy. We'll give, you know, you go ahead and qualify your patients, and any patients that you qualify, we'll give them a discount. And then the CEO kept asking me, like, would you like to be trained by Dr. Cowden? Which was struck me as so strange, because I'd never said to him I had any ambition of being a practitioner. I'd been trained in Reiki, energy healing, like back in 1997, but never hadn't mentioned that to anyone. So I kept saying, no, I'm not interested, to the point where they said, listen, you know, we'll pay for your hotel, you know? So I did it. And it was the strangest thing. It was me and 15 doctors. trained by Dr. Cowden, who is an amazing guy. And so after that, I thought, well, why not start a clinic? I'm an unlicensed practitioner, more or less a health coach, but I help people with not only the Cowden protocol, but all the detox remedies and parasite treatments I figured out on my own. Some of them from my own invention and experimentation. And I do energy healing too. So that's the Lyme Recovery Clinic, and that's in Connecticut where I live.
Cool.
That's so incredible. Yeah. So incredible. And you know, if you wouldn't have got bit by that tick or whatever it was, you wouldn't
be here.
Spider. That's right. Okay. That's right. It was a spider.
Yeah. So everybody thinks it's a tick, you know, and for the most part, they call it tick-borne illness, but any bug that you know, sucks your blood, like a spider, or a flea, mosquito, bed bug, horsefly, all those things can cause Lyme disease.
Yes, and that's a good point to bring up because, you know, a lot of people still to this day just think a deer-headed tick or
The deer tick, yeah.
Deer tick. I'm trying to add too many words in there. It's the only one that can contract Lyme to you. And that's so not true.
No.
You know, or you have to be on the East Coast to get Lyme, and we all know that's not true.
Klinghardt was saying one time it's even airborne.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'd not heard that.
Yeah.
That's
neither. That's scary.
That's scary.
That's really scary.
That's scary. So, yes, and in essence, and he also made a statement that pretty much 80% of us have the spirochete inside of us, and it's just depending on how our immune system is responding to it, you know, whether it's manifesting or not.
Right. I believe, and I've seen so many times with patients I help how their immune system can go up and down based upon things going on in their lives. I've had patients go into remission, and then a year later, you know, I helped them with the Cowden protocol, and one patient was in remission. She said, "Hey, the protocol didn't work." I said, "What do you mean? You were in remission. You've been in remission for over a year." "Oh, well, I'm out of remission now." So, you know, I started going through what's been going on in your life, and we couldn't figure it out. And then finally I just said, "Well, you know, Dr. Cowden told me during the training that he said any major trauma in your life, you know, like a death in the family, a concussion or a car wreck." And, "Oh, I had a car wreck." Okay.
And there it is.
There it is. You know, the protocol worked. It put you in remission, but you know, remission is different than curing. You know, there's hardly any diseases. I don't know what cure means because almost any disease you ever get, there's always traces and remnants of the bacteria or the virus, you know, in your body. And you're basically, what happens in remission is you knock it down to a level that your immune system can take over and fight it off.
Exactly.
So there's always something around you, you know, like, you know, Epstein-Barr virus and mono and things like that. They're so common. We're all exposed to them every day. So if something happens to knock your immune system down, those things are going to take, you know, they're opportunistic. They're going to start going crazy. And that's what happens with Lyme. Exactly what you were saying, Travis. So
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, like you're saying, I mean, there's none of us, we all have cancer cells in us, you know, so we're never cancer free. We all have parasites inside of us. So we're never parasite free. We all have viruses. In fact, you know, virus, you know, you have something's called the viral biome, you know, which is actually more expansive and more intricate than our bacterial biome. You know, so we couldn't survive without them. So to kill all the viruses, that's not feasible and it's not sustainable for life. Yeah. So, So we all have these all the time, but it all depends on, you know, where we're at emotionally, spiritually, physically, how we take care of ourselves nutritionally, and all those components are what guides the expression of these different biomes, you know, viral, bacterial, parasitical, whatever it may be.
Exactly. I have some patients say to me, like, you know, they think this is just something when they get into the chronic Lyme phase, they're like, "Okay, I just want to take this protocol, get it over with." And they'll say, "So, all right, so I have to eat a certain way while I'm on treatment. Like, when can I go back to eating normal?" I'm like, "By normal, do you mean McDonald's and Pizza Hut?" Because that's not normal.
No. Yeah. And if you want to stay
healthy, that's not healthy food. And that's was contributing to your immune system going down and your inflammation. So exactly. I'm sorry to tell you, you can try to eat Pizza Hut and McDonald's, but your body's not going to lie to you with the results.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you're saying, by normal, are you going to do exactly what it was that caused you to get in the way that you're in right now?
Exactly.
You want to repeat that process.
Yeah. That would be a really slow learner.
Yeah.
It only took you 6 years on antibiotics to say no, but.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is right. Important, you know, and I tell people how important the diet is. And, you know, I do say that, you know, once you're in remission, then you can work a little bit with your diet. Doesn't mean that you can't ever have this or ever have that. Right. But if you really went down a journey like so many people do that have chronic Lyme, when you get to the other side, you'll do just about anything to stay there.
You exactly. Really most of the people I talk to, I tell them that story of what the one patient said, like, you know, can I go back to eating normal? Most of them say, I don't care. I'll do whatever it takes to get better.
Yeah.
If I have to eat kale every day of my life so I can feel well and I can go out and in the sun and, you know, go to the beach or whatever.
It's worth it.
I'm glad. That's a small price to pay.
It's been such a, do you mind kind of as a closing, just let the listeners know, you know, about your book, about your, you know, where to find out about your foundations and, just so they have that, because those are just awesome resources.
Amazing things to share, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, this is my book. I guess it's back. Well, it's The Gratitude Curve.
The Gratitude Curve.
You can find it on Amazon. I have a personal website, gregkirk.com. So it's GREGGKIRK.com. That's where most of my stuff, if you just go there, you'll find all my other stuff. But, yeah, tickedoffmusicfest.com. We haven't been doing any live concerts, you know, for a while because of the lockdown situations and stuff. But we've been doing Zoom concerts. So I'm a musician, and I may be doing one coming up. I've just written some new songs, you know, heavily inspired by what I've gone through. And I just did one in June. I'll probably do another one. It's a fundraiser for the foundation. And the foundation is tickedoff.foundation.org. So if you're a Lyme patient looking for help with treatment, if you're interested in herbal treatments and discounts and so forth, go to tickedoff.foundation.org. And then I've collaborated with a bunch of different Lyme patients and some practitioners on a website called LymeKnowledge.com. So that's a free resource where you can go read blogs. There's a bunch of great information we put together. It's literally the website I wish I would have had when I first got sick. So that was my goal with that. Like, if I were sick, you know, the first week, what would I want to know? And it's all of that.
And that's one of the reason we're doing these podcasts too, is to kind of shorten that learning curve, you know, so people can gain access to resources from people that have gone through the journey that they're going, that they're about to embark upon, you know, so they know the lay of the land a little bit ahead of time, or they're middle of it and they feel, you know, it's hopeless. And so they have a goalpost knowing that this is doable. So to have for you creating that kind of resource, that's awesome. And that's exactly what we're trying to do as well.
Exactly. Because the community needs people that have conquered Lyme like us to show them the way, because even if you have a very good doctor, a Lyme literate doctor, a naturopathic, they still don't know what you go through unless you go through it. So we're the best ones to advocate for them. So thank you so much for sharing your journey and for everything that you offer to the Lyme community. We need more people like you, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you both, Travis and Tanya, so much. Definitely, I want to keep the doors open, my arms open for any collaborations you guys would like to do in the future. And God bless you both for what you're doing. It's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Have an awesome rest of the evening. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.